Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat.
Hello and welcome to our podcast for this week. I'm here with Michaela. How are you going?
Hey guys, I'm going well, thank you. How are you?
Awesome, I'm really good. Now, Michaela and I, we are recording in our car today. No, we had a little bit of a problem with office space, so we're like, hey, let's just go and record in the car. So if you hear any bypassing traffic.
Or any rain.
Yeah, or any rain, then you'll know why. But hey, we did not want to stop our podcast, so we're here and we're excited to be sharing with you again today. Mm-hmm. Last week, if you listened to our podcast, we talked about abundant grace, and we're continuing with that theme today. Abundant grace is where God, our Father, who is so amazing and loving, sent his son Jesus to us to die on the cross for us so that we could spend eternity with him. And what we want to do today is talk about another aspect of God's abundant grace, which last week we talked about the eternity of God's abundant grace and how God died or sent Jesus to die on the cross for us so we could spend eternity with him. But today we want to talk about God's abundant grace for the here and now. How do we take that abundant grace that God's given us, and how do we live our life? How does that affect the way we live? So that's what we really want to focus on today, where there are situations in our lives where we can extend grace to others.
So in Rosemary's video, in the kind of second half, she spoke about how grace also comes into our lives when we extend it to others, and when we replicate that grace that God has already given to us. Once we've received what God has given us, it's only natural for us to want to share that and replicate that and give it to others.
And that's something, if we want to talk about, you know, how do I then practically use that in my life? Mm-hmm. Taking God's abundant grace really should affect the way that I live my life, mm-hmm. the way that I approach other people, the way that I talk to other people, the way that I love other people,
yeah.
which can be really difficult.
Definitely.
But if I'm so affected by what God's done for me, then I can't help but want to then live that out in my life and show that to other people. Mm. Rosemary talks about the women that we'll be if we extend grace to each other. Just mm-hmm. like how amazing we'll be if we extend grace. And sometimes I think of that as like giving a bit of slack, if that makes sense. Like giving people a bit of a break, you know? Not judging so harshly, mm-hmm. like allowing people to, well, yeah, cover them in grace when they make mistakes or when they've done something that you wouldn't have done. Just extending grace by being patient with them and loving to them. That's what I think of. Yeah.
I did a fair bit of work with some really cute year sixes a couple of years ago when I was doing youth ministry. And we would always touch on, because we were prepping them for confirmation, the fruits of the Spirit.
Yep.
And so whenever I hear anything that kind of even slightly grazes what the fruits of the Spirit might be talking about, my brain automatically connects them. And so when I was hearing all of this about extending grace to others and how we might do that, I started to think about what the traits of extending grace might be. Mm. And, you know, at first I had the thought, extending grace to someone might look like having patience. It might look like being gentle and all those things. And then I started thinking, wow, those are actually fruits of the Spirit. And so I wrote down a list of all the fruits, and I was like, oh, all of these, like you would need all of these if you were extending grace to someone. So I'm just going to say what the fruits of the Spirit are.
Cool.
And in your brain, maybe as you're listening, just kind of think about, oh, that might be how I could extend grace or whatever. But the traits of extending grace, also known as the fruits of the Spirit in my mind, are patience, kindness, gentleness, love, peace, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, what was the other one? Joy.
Yep.
I think if we have an underlying joy in no matter the circumstance when we're dealing with people, I think that naturally puts others at ease and it kind of diffuses a lot of situations.
Yep. I think like being the fruits of the Holy Spirit, then if you can look at your life and see, do you have those things in your life, those fruits? Are you a person of joy, of kindness, of gentleness?
Mm.
then they're the, I think exactly what you said, they're really the traits and the tests of, am I living out God's abundant grace?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to come and to help us do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that. You can look at what is the fruit of my life? What can I see in my life when I'm dealing with other people? And if I can see these things,
mm-hmm.
then I'm extending that grace to them.
Yeah. And it's also kind of confirmation for us as well that we are living and we're making those choices that you were talking about earlier in a manner that does embody the grace of God. Because when we embody the grace of God, it's no wonder that we would be showing those traits, showing things that God is.
Mm.
We become like a mirror reflection almost.
Yep.
I had the thought that when we embody the grace of God, it relates back to that scripture as well where it says when we believe in God, we are made new creations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so if we're made a new creation, if having the grace of God renews us and fills us with the fruits of the Spirit, then we can use our God-given free will to take on those traits and make that part of our character. And when we make that part of our character, all of a sudden, like I said, we're reflecting God. We're also reflecting more of who God is. Who else is God? God is a creator. So we're recreating ourselves to reflect the grace that we've been given, almost like a stained glass window in a church.
Mm.
Like you look, some churches, it's prettier from the inside.
Yep.
And so you see the stained glass window from one side and it's not reflecting the image that it's necessarily designed to.
Mm.
But then when you take a look at it from another angle and you have this renewed sight, it kind of shines the image that's meant to be there.
Mm, mm. That's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. That makes me think of when Rosemary continued to talk about what would be like if we extended grace to other women.
Mm.
She went on to say, you know, we want to be linking our arms, sharing our dreams and ideas, sharing and encouraging who we are, loving each other and our community.
Mm-hmm.
If we are extending that grace to others, then how amazing those women would be. Like mm-hmm. if we were able to do that with other women in our lives, how we're able to build women up.
Because
sometimes I feel women, we can be the worst ones to pull each other down.
Yeah, totally, totally.
But by giving that grace to others, then we're able to build people up and allow people to grow in who they are by extending grace to them.
Mm, almost creating like an example of spiritual sisterhood.
Mm, yeah.
Because anyone who has sisters, I don't have sisters, I have spiritual sisters.
Yeah.
But Emma, you have sisters, I'm sure you'd know. Even with tension at times, there always reaches that threshold of extending grace and renewing that relationship. Mm. Even if it's an unsaid thing,
yep.
you know, it comes to this point of, okay, refresh and renew and restore.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want that relationship to, restore, you have to extend that grace,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly what God did to us, to restore our relationship with Him. He had to extend that grace to us.
Mm.
And Him, God the Father, had the ability to do it in such an amazing way. But that's what He asks of us, to be able to do that to others in our relationships. And in people we know, like really well, like your actual sisters or your friends, but then to also extend that grace to others that we don't know in those times that are really difficult.
And to treat them as if they were your sister.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, very much so. And like, yeah, if we were like that to everyone, just how amazing people would be, but how specifically talk about women, how amazing we can be and help other women to be by extending that grace.
Mm. And Rosemary said in the video as well, she said that to have grace is you need humility. You can't have grace and have pride at the same time.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, I really liked the way you spoke about when we extend grace to other women, it really is this letting go of kind of the cyclical thing in relationships with women that seems to be in society where it's very kind of competitive and I need to win.
Yeah, one up on you, get up. Yeah. Very much, yeah. Speaking about humility, something that I found challenging when watching Rosemary's video was that we should go to God with our weaknesses. And something that she talked about, which I will talk about again later in our So What segment about the scripture, is she talked about going to God boldly with your weaknesses, particularly because Jesus understands that because he was human. So we can confidently go to God knowing that he understands us and the flaws that we have.
Yeah. I think it's really easy, especially for Christian women, I think, to because we're pursuing replicating Christ's heart within ourselves, it's very easy for us to think, like, I have to be perfect. And so when we fail, that's when guilt hits, because we've been pursuing perfection. But I think the really important thing to remember is that God created us knowing that we're fully human, and that humans fail, and humans have, you know, a wide range of emotions, both negative and positive, and experiences, both negative and positive. And the crazy thing is that even though God, even though when Jesus came, he was perfect because he was fully divine, he was also fully human. And theologically, we believe that that full humanity meant that he did experience the full range of those emotions and experiences, even though he made the perfect choice in each of those.
That's right.
So he can understand what we've been, what we're tempted to do, or what kind of the mistakes we've made, because he had that same temptation.
But so, I felt like it was challenging to be able to extend that grace to others. We need to recognize what you were saying earlier, that humility, and recognize that weakness. And go to God so that he can then, I suppose, fill us up so that we can extend that grace again. Like continuing to go back to him, because we can never just do it once. And God continues to extend that grace to us, And in so doing, it means we're then able to continue to extend grace to other people.
Totally. So when you were saying that, I had the thought that it's funny because we look at our weaknesses and our failings as kind of the worst part of us. And that's why it's hard to bring it to God. But an interesting perspective, I guess, that just came through my head was that those weaknesses could perhaps be our greatest strength as humans. Because without those weaknesses, there really is no need for God, and no need for God's grace, and no need to extend it, and no need to personify God in a way that heals relationships and heals kind of unhealthy habits. So it's funny because we want to kind of shield our weaknesses from God and be like, oh, we're perfect like you.
Don't look at this spot, God, right here.
But in reality, he loves those weaknesses because that's what makes us need him,
desire him more, because yeah, you're right.
So I guess maybe the question from God is like, will you love your weaknesses just as much as me, because those are the things that make you need me.
They're the things that draw us closer to him, by trying to become more like him in the parts that we're weak. And then God continues, it's kind of this cycle, isn't it, too? Then God continues to pour his abundant grace on us when we don't deserve it, but he just can't help but pour it upon us, and then it draws us closer to him.
So now I guess the question is, what does being gracious look like? What does extending grace to someone look like? Because it can be very easy for us to take it as a concept and be like, oh yeah, that's the right thing to do. But I think doing it practically is actually quite difficult.
But they're not actually being able to step it out.
You can be in a situation, and especially for women, I feel like because our emotions are such an integral part of us and they kind of steer us in a particular way, it can be definitely easy for me to kind of feel an emotion and react as opposed to see a situation and pour grace into it.
Which is like that, I'm sure you're about to say it, but like that self-control from the Spirit.
Need
that self-control.
I guess we're traveling back to those fruits of the Spirit. And the thoughts that I had were, when I think about what does being gracious look like, I first thought about, well, being gracious to me often talks about, often feels like listening rather than kind of putting myself into the situation. So looking at the situation before I enter it. And the first thing I would need to listen to in order to do that is myself, to manage my emotions, to not push my emotions down, because often that ends up in them coming out in an irrational, intense way.
Yeah.
I've had that happen so many times in my life.
Bottle
them
up and out they come. Yeah.
But managing my emotions, acknowledging that they're there, validating them, because it's okay for us to feel a particular way. I think so often we think that our emotions are a really ungodly part of us, but God actually gave us emotions so that we could experience something very fully and then use them to learn how, or to empathize.
Yeah, I was going to say they help to empathize with other people often. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So oftentimes for me, say I'm having a bicker with my husband, my lovely husband. If I'm not going to react to a situation, if he's done something that frustrates me, or he's disagreeing with me on something and that frustrates me, the first thing I need to do is recognize that I'm frustrated. To validate that feeling, okay, it's fair enough that I'm frustrated. Or maybe it's not fair enough that you're frustrated. Yeah. To kind of have that thought in my head. So oftentimes I'll tell Justin, I need a minute to think. And that's okay. Everyone deals with and manages their emotions in a different way. So I'll go, I'll manage myself first. Then after I've calmed the raging waters within,
I love that.
I listen to the spirit. So basically in this process, dealing with the person, even if it's a current thing that's happening, is the last thing that I do. The second thing that I do is listen to the spirit.
Yeah.
What fruits of the spirit is God calling me to use in this situation?
Yeah.
It might be patience, kindness, gentleness, joy, love, peace, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Oftentimes for me, it's self-control and patience.
And do you do that in the minute where you say, hey, I just need a minute to think?
And I don't necessarily have to run through a reel of lists.
No.
Oftentimes I'll go, God, what do I need to be in this situation?
And you just think that thought in your head.
He's not going to give me a list and be like, okay, discern every dot point on this list.
No, no.
But he's going to be like, okay, maybe you just need to have patience and listen and have kindness.
Yep.
You don't know where he's coming from yet. You're just dealing with yourself.
Yep.
And so after God has spoken into the situation within my heart, mind you, oftentimes I don't get this right, and oftentimes this is like split second sort of stuff. Yeah, so it's not like, okay, go away, I need to process my three steps.
No, no, yeah. It's in the moment.
It's in the moment. Okay, I feel this way. That's all right. I can either manage that afterwards or I can let this go because it's actually not that important of a feeling. Or this feeling, okay, great, it can steer me towards this fruit of the spirit or whatever. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? This is how I'm feeling.
Yep.
Okay, you want me to react with patience and kindness and gentleness. Great. The third thing that I listen to is the person I'm interacting with. Oftentimes, empathy can be the hardest thing to get to when you're dealing with an emotion, but empathy, for me, is very important when I'm dealing with people. Otherwise the situation is about me and it's not about an interaction.
Yeah.
So really listening to the words they're using. This works really well if people are speaking kind of, this makes me feel, or trying to explain a concept or whatever. Really listen to the words they're using, because oftentimes they're just trying to get something across. They're not necessarily attacking you. So there's no need to be defensive and to have those emotions. And oftentimes that's what makes me get past my emotions, is, oh, this isn't about me.
Yeah.
This is about whatever. If it is about me, maybe that's where the humility comes in that Rosemary was talking about. And by the time you get to that point, I'm resolved within myself and I'm prepared to resolve with the other person.
Yep.
And that's how I would be gracious.
Yeah. No, there's some good key steps there. And I think almost like the ultimate overarching thing of all of that, and you said it in there, was it's not about me. It's all about the other person.
Yeah.
And to be gracious to someone else is to be unselfish and to put the other first.
Yeah.
It's always like, to be gracious is actually to put aside sometimes your own things.
It's the classic, love one another as I have loved you.
Yep.
He didn't love himself first.
Yep.
He loved others.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So
I think if all else fails, go back to the classic WWJD, what would Jesus do?
That's it. Have that as your motto. Yep, always. Wow. Okay, we've delved into a lot of stuff there. And, yeah, mm-hmm. hopefully we've given some really practical steps of how can you be gracious to other people when you need to be.
Definitely.
So I think the weekly challenge this week, just simply, well, it's not simple. I say simple and it's just not. But the weekly challenge is to extend grace to someone who may not deserve it. Mm-hmm. So this week, as you go through your week and you have, let's say, times of frustration with different people, how can you extend grace to someone who doesn't deserve it? What can you do? Can you ask the Spirit to come and to give you those fruits of the Spirit to help you extend grace to someone else? So we hope and we pray that you can get through that weekly challenge this week, and not only this week, but always.
Worship Song of the Week.
So this week for Worship Song of the Week, we have recorded the beautiful song Amazing Grace. Michaela has sung this so beautifully and her husband Justin is on keys. And Rosemary talked about how Amazing Grace was originally written, well, was it written by a man who used to be part of the slave trade. But he had such an encounter with God and the Lord that it changed his entire life, and he then fought against the slave trade. And through that, he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. And so we're going to play this gorgeous song for you now. I hope and pray that you reflect on it and these beautiful words of just how amazing and encompassing God's grace is to all of us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Scripture that we're going to focus on is in Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 to 16, and it says this: For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So what does this scripture mean for our lives? We can take such encouragement from this scripture, because what it's talking about is that we have a God who understands us. We have a God who can sympathize with all our weaknesses. We know that Jesus came and lived on the earth with us, fully human, and he was tested. And he was tested just like we are tested, but yet he didn't sin. I can't say the same for me. I sin all the time, but Jesus is a God who understands us, and he knows what it's like to be tested. He knows what those temptations are like. He completely understands our weaknesses. And so we can get encouragement from this, because it means we can go to God who understands the failings that we have, and he still loves us, and he wants to give us mercy and his grace. Now, in this verse, it talks about, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. And what does that mean? You know, when I think of someone who's bold, I think of someone who's confident. So this means that we can go to God confidently with our weaknesses, with our needs, and we can speak to him honestly. We can say exactly what's on our heart because we have a God who understands us. We can get frustrated. We can tell God what we think because he understands what we're going through. You know, I was thinking also this verse to me makes me think of like when I go to reconciliation and I confess my sins to the priest. You know, this is where I can go with boldness to God and confess what I have to say, and he will give me his mercy and his grace. You know, I also think like we can use this verse by just stopping at the beginning of the day and going to God confidently and with that boldness and asking him to come and help us through our day, help us to grace us with maybe the conversations we know we're going to have, the difficulties maybe we're going to have with our children or with colleagues, and ask God for that grace just to come and help us. Also doing it in every situation that we need his grace, just stopping and just saying a simple prayer in our heads, God, would you come and would you grace me in this situation right now? So this verse this week, you can be so encouraged that we have an amazing God who loves us so deeply that we can come to him and just tell him honestly what our failings and weaknesses are. He's a God who understands us, and he's a God who then wants to give us his grace and mercy.
I like that.
Oh, thank you.
I sin all the time. I have to hold back a little giggle.
Spotlight.
So every week we like to shed a spotlight on a person or maybe a resource that has really inspired us in our faith life. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am so excited to talk about this this spotlight this week. I was talking to Emma just before we started recording, and I was telling her all of my favorite features of this resource and how it's absolutely amazing. So I want to share a few things.
She was very excited, I must say. Yeah.
So I want to share a few things about this resource with you. It's called the Bible app. You can download it on your iPad, your iPhone, your Android, all of the things. It is very good. It's by an amazing movement or community called YouVersion. And it is already installed on over 430 million unique devices all over the world. That's how popular it is. And the Bible app offers a free Bible experience, so you don't have to pay any money, for smartphones, tablets, and you can actually look it up online as well at bible.com. They're generous partners, so their donors actually make it possible for the YouVersion team to offer 2,062 Bible versions in 1,372 languages for free without advertising. So you know those apps where an advert pops up and you have to wait 30 seconds or a minute to be able to get through to the next thing? That doesn't happen on this app, and it's amazing. some of my favorite features, I just thought I would jot a couple of them down and share them with you. I am not lying when I say this is absolutely my favorite app on my phone, and I use it every day. So my first favorite feature is the easy way you can access Bible study. So not only can you read the Bible, you can actually compare the different translations, you can highlight your favorite verses, and you can even listen to an audio version if you're on the go, which is really handy. I've done that before when I'm traveling, and you can actually put it at different speeds. So I was saying to Emma, if you want to go through Genesis, just put it on, you know, double speed and really listen to it all, and you'll get through it in no time. You can actually subscribe as well. This is another favorite thing, to different plans and devotionals on the app. So just another way to study the Bible. It brings up relevant verses to particular topics, and it normally has a writer or an audio or video form that kind of unpacks what those verses are about. And you can set your app to remind you to go on that plan for the day, every day, which is really cool. The devotionals vary in length, anywhere between a few days. So every day, maybe for 3 days, or it can even go up to a month, which is really a really awesome way to build that habit of studying the Bible. And you can add friends on the app as well, and you can actually do a plan together. So you can send an invitation to your friend who has the app on their phone, and you can actually do one of those devotionals together, which is a really great way to keep accountable. Or if you're in a situation that's kind of the same for each person, it's a really cool way to work through those things and chat about it together. At the end of the plan, each day they give you kind of a chat room where you can chat about it with the person that you have invited. So that's really, really awesome. You can set notifications so that it sends you a Bible verse each day And it always encourages me to just dive a little deeper and to kind of click that read more button after the end of that verse. And my favorite thing is I love to encourage my friends and family with Bible verses. So there's a copy and share option, so you can share scripture verses of the day or your favorite scripture verses that you've come across in your study with friends and family. I hope you enjoy this spotlight of the week. It is a lifesaver for me, so I really hope you download it and let me know what you think.
Jottings from my journal.
Each week on our website, heartministryforwomen.com, Rosemary writes a blog which is called Jottings from My Journal. And this is where she shares a bit about her life, her prayer life, and what God's doing in her. And she's spoken out one of these blogs for us now so that we can reflect on and meditate. So we hope you enjoy this from Rosemary Downs.
I often drive to work listening to music, actually singing along to the music, singing and praying to God before I start my work day. Now, it's not the only time that I'm praying to God, but it's wonderful because I have the car all to myself. I can listen to CDs, I can sing as loud as I want, I can actually sing the wrong words, I can hum along praising God where I'm at the time. Sometimes it's, you know, very joyfully, sometimes it's hesitantly because I'm just not doing very well. But this one day, I was singing along to some CDs and then I realized what the words said. And I only got to the first line of this song. I was so overawed by what the words said. And I stopped the CD actually, and I kept repeating and repeating and repeating the line. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The sound of God's grace is so sweet. You know, sound waves, vibrations bounce off objects, and often they bounce them off because the objects are impermeable. But things like water, the sound waves go through water. But they go through the water, but they actually don't have an effect on the water. The water doesn't change, just the sound waves go through. But God's grace sound waves, God's grace waves, they don't bounce off us. They get it absorbed into us and they have an effect on us amazingly. Even if we don't know it, even if we don't see a change, that's how God's grace changes us. It affects us. God's grace given to us makes our lives so sweet, so full of joy. It reminded me of a discussion that St. Francis had with one of his brothers. They asked him what perfect joy was. You know, St. Francis of Assisi? And he shared and said, perfect joy is not in learning or in preaching or in working of miracles. It is to be found only in the pardon of holding no hatred, no unforgiveness. Because the grace of our loving Father sending his Son to die for our sins was about all our unforgiveness forgiven. Jesus took it on the cross, and because of that, we receive perfect joy. Oh, what a different way of thinking. Not joy in laughter and joy in happiness and joy, but that joy is joy, yes. But perfect joy, because there is no hatred, there is no evil, there is no unforgiveness. There is only grace and the goodness of God. Oh, what a sweet sound. What a sweet feeling. What sweet knowledge. What sweet sensation is grace. It actually makes you gooey inside, like goosebumps on the outside of your skin. Because it gives you perfect joy, and this perfect joy has been given to all of us. Oh God, how grateful I am. It makes me feel very humbled to realize what you have done for me. And I sit in my car, overawed by you.
That's everything for our podcast this week. We hope that you've enjoyed this conversation that Michaela and I have had. There's been a lot to unpack this
Definitely
week.
Definitely a lot. If you had a notebook, I wouldn't blame you to take notes.
That's right. There's a lot there. Now, we wish you all the best, and we'll pray for you in your weekly challenge this week, which is to extend grace to someone who may not deserve it, which is really difficult to do, easy to say in a sentence, but really tricky to put into action. So we hope that some of those steps that Michaela shared with us are fruitful for you, that you see those fruits of the Spirit in your life, and that you're able to do that this week.
Now, something that we really love to do is interact with you guys. So if you want to follow us on our Facebook page, Heart Ministry for Women, or if you want to like us on Instagram, or both, that would be great. Then we would really love it if you would reach out, comment on our posts, DM us, whatever you would like. We also have this podcast on both Spotify and Apple Podcast. And one thing we would really love for you to do, if it doesn't take up too much time, is go to Apple Podcast and give us a review, because that way more people can listen to these amazing messages that we have to share with you.
Yep, that would be absolutely wonderful. Well, we hope that you have a blessed week, and we look forward to chatting and sharing with you again next week. Bye.